Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
Thanks, John. We are busy with GREIP programs, with the new round sevens, with the battery storage energy solutions that's coming out, and obviously then the contentious gas to power RFP that is obviously out there as well. So, but the reality is we've seen the CNI space, you know, the captive power solution space, just exploding in activity, just because the need for reliable power in South Africa is very important.
There's nothing like a giant utility having extreme problems to create a new market, and a big one.
I think there's issues to be resolved. I think the fact that we're seeing the transmission company being formed, that would actually help, you know, progress the actual, you know, electrons and the movement of it. So hopefully that will play a big role in moving forward. Yeah,
they've opened with quite a few issues. So where to start on the transmission? Clearly, that is a big opening. I think you and I are both veterans of the AEF, and we'll have seen over many years people saying, well, eventually something will happen with transmission. It's no longer seen across the continent necessarily as the natural monopoly that we used to talk about. Can you actually see private financing and indeed private investment openings happening in South Africa in transmission, or more widely in other countries?
I believe so. With us looking at the IPP office, and that was mostly, you'll know, on the generation of electricity, we believe the right thing, and there are discussions around the IPP for transmission projects as well. We believe that will definitely come through, you know, in the system soon.
Yeah.
If I look at infrastructure, and, you know, not necessarily wanting to focus too much on that, we're seeing changes in the infrastructure, not necessarily in South Africa, but in, for example, the DRC, where traders are actually managing the concessions on the rails, the railway lines that's coming, the Lobito Corridor.
Yeah.
So we've seen that happening as well. And if it can happen in more than just power, but also moving over to the infrastructure side, it would be good.
It's certainly true. There's a lot of interest at all levels in those transport corridors, aren't there? I mean, you mentioned Lobito, where we've seen the US taking a big interest in it.
Yes.
You could mention the geopolitics around that, but there's a lot of things going on in generally, and that's providing new openings, you would say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it those type of entities that's doing the mining operations, you know, there's copper there. It's all forming part of the transition for many of the countries. You know, economic growth, yes, but supplying the minerals and metals, you know, into the renewable space. You know, I think it's just all good for Africa, but there's still a long way to go in order for us to make sure everyone's got power.
And you mentioned earlier, the various South African procurement programs. I mean, you were saying about the REI PPP seventh bid round. That's creating a lot of interest at the moment, finally happening. How are you seeing that?
Yeah, definitely. The activity is huge. Obviously, the usual IPPs coming in. We've seen one or two of the local IPPs coming through as well,
okay,
wanting to bid in that, you know, that it's been extended.
Yes, indeed.
Deadline. So I think it's all very, very positive. On the battery storage, the same. I think that's what the country needs. The generation is one thing, but the excess capacity must be stored, which will help relieve the grid issue, you know, in the short
term. Totally. And what sort of financial instruments and indeed appetite in the commercial bank market are you seeing for BESS and storage opportunities?
A big appetite for that. I think financial institutions like ourselves, like APSA, have committed to fund renewable projects to make sure that we help, you know, the whole sustainability part going forward. So we've committed as a bank $100 billion, and we are close to that, you know, and it happened in a very short period of time. So the battery storage for us is a big supplement to the overall government programs. And I think there's going to be more applicants. And
are there specific issues around financing battery storage? Because obviously it's something that people talk about a huge amount. And it's clearly to support the grid extremely important. But it is kind of a new product. And across Africa, I mean, South Africa's kind of outlier. We've seen some battery storage, say, in Senegal. But it's still very, very new technology as far as the continent's concerned. So you're happy there's the liquidity there, there's the, yes, the availability of the right financial instruments to support that?
There's definitely liquidity to support that, but there's a few criteria to be met. The technology, like you've mentioned already, son, that is important. We would like to see, for example, you know, the charging of the batteries and, you know, not more than twice, you know, the loading of it. You know, can it sustain the requirements on this side? You know, how long will the batteries last? Because now we're doing it for the first time.
Yes.
We have to make sure that we understand who and the manufacturers are that off those batteries.
Yep.
The testing of it. But it should be used in a way that made it conducive to last for a period of time. So, but the liquidity is definitely there. I wish it can be rolled out more to Africa.
Yes.
But there's clearly policies and regulations and needs to be formalized and cleared in order to get that done.
Yeah. So for the moment, South Africa is going to be in the lead on that. And of course, you also have the benefit of having the rand-based economy where you can, I mean, the currency may get weaker from time to time. But equally, you don't have the local currency problems many people have with this kind of picture.
Yes. Like the currency, it fluctuates.
Yes.
And we've seen that the rand dollar, for example, I mean, it started at 19, you know, and then we're in the 18s, and many project that, you know, if everything goes well with our new government of national unity, that it will become stronger, the rand, as
yes.
well. So, but again, it's a cycle that we will go through. And we've seen that in Africa, in an African context, the FX volatility, it's there. So it must be managed appropriately. And there's things to be done about that. So it's not always easy.
No. And you mentioned the gas RFP, because that's coming out. I've been around the halls here where people have been talking about it and expecting to see that. Do you think that will happen imminently and opening opportunities? Or obviously, one presumes, because it's so strategic, it will wait for the new government and see who's got what portfolio. Is that the case, or is it actually just going to be much more automatic and going to come out and people bidding for it?
Look, the existing gas to power RFP that's out there, it's well known now that there's aspects that needs to be really reworked. You know, the RFP can't exist in its current form.
Yes.
But linked to that, I think it's going to take time as well, just because of the infrastructure needs, you know, at Richards Bay, that must be built, the gas supply that must come in, and then clearly the infrastructure to link it to, you know, to power sources. So there's a lot to be done around that gas to power. And 2 gigawatts it's very big. And all those things split up, 1 gigawatt, 1 gigawatt. It is a huge and an enormous amount of gas that we need to be imported in order to do that. We don't have our own gas reserves, and it's dwindling.
Yet.
Yes, so we don't have it yet. But I mean, to go and develop, you know, any of the well-known reserves that's out there, it takes some time. So
we'll have to ship it in.
We'll have to definitely ship it in. And that becomes another discussion, because it's natural gas. Now, how do you store it? How do you move it? Very important aspects.
Absolutely. Off the grid, we have the CNI boom, which is enormous, and I presume takes up a lot of time in the bank.
Well, true.
So South Africa clearly has led the way on the continent in this. How would you situate the market at the moment? You talk to South African banks, they're so extraordinarily busy. There's a lot going on. In a lot of cases, have the bigger consumers now put in the kind of CNI they want, or is there still just a huge amount of demand? And as you come to having a wider body of consumers buying this equipment and financing it, are there credit issues that come into play as well? It's all very well having a AAA-rated global corporate buying a couple of megawatts of solar. It's very different when you're in a situation where someone out in, say, the Free State wants to have a lot and has to show they can actually pay for it.
Yeah, the CNI space is definitely expanding. The intensive power users like mines or smelters or you know, any mill or refinery, it uses a lot of energy. So we've seen the CNI space increasing more and more. I mean, we've been mandated, for example, on 1.5 gigawatts in the CNI space, you know, for the last year or so.
1.5 gigawatts.
1.5 gigawatts, so that's huge. And mostly mines. You know, obviously in the retail space, there's different activity happening. For example, you know, where individuals can add to their home loans solar solutions, you know, in that specific case. But if you look at the big corporates, we believe that this is the start of it. But there's also a change in the market. So, you know, where mines would put up, for example, 80 or up to 80 to 100 megawatts, you know, for their specific requirements, not every mine is necessarily wanting to have, you know, that activity, you know, on their balance sheets, etc. And then that's when the IPP comes in. We've seen a lot of discussions, even during this AEF 2024, on the power traders coming into, you know, more and more to the forefront. And that becomes a different discussion. It's easy for banks to finance, you know, an IPP, building, off-taker mine, look at the mine, life of your mines, etc. And that's then easy. Now you have a power trader coming in, buying electrons, selling electrons, and how do you actually fund that? Because there's not an anchor off-taker, you know, for that
power. No, it's a corporate finance.
Yes, so now it becomes a little bit different. Yeah. So we see a lot more of that activity.
Very interesting.
So, yeah.
And that's in the domestic market?
Yes.
And more widely in Africa? What do you see? Because obviously you've got a lot of clients who have mines in other places.
I can use Zambia as a good example because there's the copper belt is there, and there's a lot of copper smelters apart from the mining part. And it was very evident that the message was given that 10 to 20% of the electricity requirements of most mines, they will have to find somewhere else, in other words, cross the border.
Yes.
So now more and more, it's important that the rules and regulations and policies are changed. In a very similar way that South Africa has done to ensure that there's easy access for mines to set up the power plants, for example. and which can help the community as well, because if you put up power plants there, hopefully, you know, that can also stretch community access
yes.
to electricity. But it's a few and far between. We've seen Mozambique with the hydro project happening. I think everyone would love to see that happening. And because it touches water, everyone would like to see as well how is ESG managed.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, at a level of our consultancy side, we've seen a lot of companies coming in, private equity investors and others, looking to see how to do that cross-border trade. Obviously, the mines as the anchor investors. But it's still early days. Southern Africa Power Pool has been in advance of other pools on this. Are you finding projects that are SAP-related coming to you that people are looking financing for? Or is it more in the planning stage, if you like?
No, I think it's more in the planning stage. We see limited, specifically focused on the SLE power pool. So we don't see that a lot of that happening.
No. So if the board of ABSA says, Shirley, come and tell us how it's going to look in five years' time with this electricity trading, this whole scene, we need to hear for our five-year strategic plan, or perhaps have a 10-year strategic plan. I'll be like my company, a no-year strategic plan. What would you say? Where do you see it, say, 5 years hence with this trading thing?
Well, I think if I look at South Africa specifically, we still need the base load to be there. So power and renewables will form a big part of our activity. Base load will be there, and then it becomes a question. Does coal get replaced by gas? But gas then needs everything that we've spoken about, the infrastructure, the supply, you know, the move of the electrons. So that is all needed as well. So we do believe that the gas to power transition will be there for a certain period of time. Power and renewables will continue to be expanded dramatically. And although South Africa and Egypt, for example, are ahead in having the power specifically from solar happening, it must roll out to the rest of Africa as well. So we do see that happening. And maybe just to add to that, if we don't actually do things down the value chain, then we can have power. But if we're not building the solar panels or manufacturing the solar panels or the wind turbines in Africa for Africa, then where's our economic growth coming from? So I do think that's an important aspect that we should focus on as Africa. We must build with the local content to make sure that economic growth happens.
Are you actually seeing credible local content type projects like to do wind turbines, for example?
It's limited. South Africa, I mean,
it's limited everywhere. The Chinese make them or...
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. You know, there's certain components that should be manufactured there. If I look at batteries, let's use batteries as a good example.
Yes.
We've got the lithium deposits, we've got the graphite deposits, for example, in Tanzania.
Yes.
We've got so many resources where we mine it, it moves out, we import it back. We must try and do something with regional beneficiation. I don't think every country's got enough to put up a massive power, massive plant, you know, for those beneficiation of it. But we could do it regionally. But it comes back to policies and regulations. How can countries close proximity help each other? That's what we...
Yep, I completely agree. It's putting the structures in place to do it and then making it economic. I mean, you need something that's bankable and people need something that's competitive as well as cost-effective, which I suppose is the key issue.
That's right.
Seems to wrap up. What other big trends do you see? What are your perceptions on the market, the way that the wider African energy industry and associated industries are going? Is the glass half full or half empty on these things?
That question, half full, half empty.
I know, it's a horrible cliche, isn't it?
But I believe, you know, new trends, I think innovation is coming through, you know, making solar panels lasting longer.
Yes.
Batteries, making sure the technology going in there. Technology, for example, for the graphite to make sure that they'll beneficiate the graphite, for example, also through processing to make it last longer. So technology and innovation are things important. One thing that I have actually mentioned a few times, what's happening with the waste.
Yes.
So I know we are not self-sufficient in the energy now, but there will come a point, what do we do with all the batteries that we have?
Very true.
What do we do with all the solar panels or where new technology replaces that? And I think that is a very important aspect and yes. opportunity for Africa. And there's not many companies like doing that. So
very, very good point.
So I would like to see that coming through as well. We use that, recycle more, and that actually will help that all the resources sitting in Africa also last a bit longer for future generations. It's not all just mine now.
It's a great point. When you said that, I actually, the first image that came into my mind was the mounds around Benoni.
Yeah.
Where the first mining work, the dumps of stuff left, and it's still a physical feature. And actually, these are things that could be used. And we're looking at the next generation of industrial development. It's absolutely true. There's something to do there. I think and there's people, there's entrepreneurs, younger generations, even older ones, who can go and do these things. I suppose the bottom line is having the environments, bureaucratic, political, regulatory, to be able to actually go forward and do these things.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Any other points, or shall we say?
No, I just think for Africa, we literally need to use our resources.
Yes. So
we've got the sun, we've got the wind, we've got, you know, gas for transition power. You should use all of that, and we have the underlying inputs to manufacture in those aspects as well, which can just help Africa to grow. It's in our hands. We are 54 African countries, all with different needs, and we must work together to help Africa.
Right. Great. Well, look, thank you very much indeed.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.